Right in. I don't know, Debbie, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be seeing anybody on the Zoom, but I don't actually see anybody on the
no.
Zoom. Oh, okay, nobody's there. Okay.
Imagine if,
I just wanted to make sure you knew. I'm okay.
I
don't know who that guy is, but okay. right. Sometimes I do that with our 16-month-old. I hold him up to the mirror. He looks at the person facing him. He's like, who is that guy? Looks familiar. One of the real themes that Sefer Yirmiyahu, before we get to how this applies to kinos and the kina that we'll look at in particular, has to do with his loneliness. Yirmiyahu had what I think everybody would agree with was a really unenviable prophetic task. In general, it wasn't so much fun to being a Navi because you're always telling people, you know, that they're not really doing the right thing. There's a reason that there's an expression in all languages called kill the messenger. it makes sense. But Yirmiyahu had it probably worse than almost anybody else in the sense that he was a Navi for this particular time. And his life was marked by all kinds of suffering having to do with this and incarceration and humiliations and degradations, and there was also like a little bit of a market that emerged for false prophecy, because Yirmiyahu was like, you know, this prophet of doom. In the English language, there's a word, Jeremiah. You know, again, just I wish there was something in our language that was nice for Yirmiyahu. It seems a little bit unkind, but there was a whole, when you study Sefer Yirmiyahu, you realize there's a whole cottage industry of false prophecy for people who are looking to make a buck and giving positive nevuos, because, you know, his true nevuos were not exactly positive. So the theme of isolation is very, 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 very profound in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And the beauty, as we've tried to focus on, not the depressing elements of the kina that we're about to see, has to do with sort of an imaginary situation, but a very beautiful imaginary situation, where Yirmiyahu is able to interact with the avos and previous generations. In other words, Yirmiyahu is thinking to himself, here they are. They're the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Moshe, and Aaron. But the problem is none of those people are around. If only I could talk to them about it, right? The way that all of us in our own lives, everybody knows this experience at one level or another. So, you know, the most important things in one's life, let's say one is used to sharing with certain people. And sharing the nachas, sharing the concerns, sharing it. And then that person isn't there anymore. And that is a tremendous loss. When you're used to, again, they could be trivial things, daily things. They could be very important things. And you have this experience of total absence. Like, how can this exactly be going on? And I'm not sharing it with the person that it would be the most important to share it with on so many different levels. And that is basically the idea that animates this this kina. Because, you know, if Klal Yisrael is about to be destroyed in great measure, and there's a Chorban, Beis HaMikdash, so who should care more than Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Aaron? But Yirmiyahu can't talk to them, right? So it's exactly that experience. So what we're going to talk about in terms of this kina is how Yirmiyahu, you know, has this imaginary encounter with the avos, and what would they say in that situation? I remember my grandmother, Zichrona Lebracha, so we used to talk every day for these 25 years. Once I became old enough to appreciate, you know, how much wisdom there was there, so she would tell me, and this was, you know, decades after her mother had passed away, that whenever she came to Parshas Drachim, whenever she came to an intersection in life, she would think to herself, you know, what would my mother tell me to do? It just never stops. So, and she was saying this into her 80s, you know, that to have that guidance. So what you have here is Yirmiyahu engaging the avos in terms of, like, what would they do in this situation? How would they try to be mechazek Klal Yisrael? How would they try to intercede on behalf of Klal Yisrael? What would their interactions with the Ribono Shel Olam be like? So all of this is understandable. If you could understand, it's like the hardest thing in the world is to manage this catastrophe as a spiritual leader of the Jewish people, but having none of the relevant, you know, parties who got them to that point, starting with Avram and Sarah, and then Yitzchak and Rivka, all the way down. So there was a incredibly isolating part of this experience. It says it's recording. Yeah. What happens in reality, I can't know. But it says recording. I'm also taking an audio here, okay, just in case. Okay. So that is number one. Number two, you know, as we spoke about a little bit last week, so the problems that existed in the times of Yirmiyahu HaNavi were not passive problems. We talked about this line in the Kina, Ki Sinas Chinam Radafnu, the first Kina of Zechor Hashem Mehayalanu. It wasn't just that there was like an ambient level of Sinas Chinam, but it was like we were chasing after it, and we read the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. For those who were here, those who weren't here, and you see how there were so many different points at which Klal Yisrael, you know, could have like taken an exit ramp. There were so many different stages which it didn't have to escalate and get worse, but we kept on pouring fuel on the fire in different ways. So that dimension we're going to see come alive in a different sense in this kina, and in the opposite direction, as we'll try to explain. As it's not as if you know, Yirmiyahu sort of arouses the avos and imahos and just sort of you know, it stops there. But we're going to see attempt after attempt after attempt after attempt. It just goes on and on and on from there to try to again reframe what's going on with Klal Yisrael. So let's begin, and what I'll try to do is, as we go stanza by stanza here, to try to marshal both the psukim that we have from Tanakh that are being referred to here, as well as the Midrashei Chazal and the Agados from the Gemara that are being alluded to as well through the language, and to try to appreciate again some of the depths of the kinos with an eye towards appreciating their beauty and not being depressed by them, but by also having a message of a very clear hope. So as Baloch Yirmiyahu al Kivrei Avos. So the scene which starts this kina is that Yirmiyahu is walking through the Kivrei Avos, right? So that, you know, like the very fact that he's there is always interesting also. And in the image, this fantastic image of the kina, that where do you go? He goes to the cemetery. He wants to be with the Avos. He wants to interact with them. So where do you go? You go to the kever. Again, some people have a minhag to go to kvarim. Some people don't have a minhag to go to kvarim. Different communities have different minhagim. But the idea of when you go is also very fascinating. So Chodesh Elul is a very big time before the Yamim Noraim. Is a sense of din v'cheshbon, a sense of, you know, trying to get back in touch. There's obviously yortzeits. And then, again, if you talk to people, also at specific times when people feel that they need something, they need some direction, they're having an issue, those who go, again, if it's not your minhag to go, please don't feel pressured to go. But again, lahavdil, and Ezu Chacham Alomid Mikol Adam is very struck about maybe 5-6 years ago. So there's a general, non-Jewish person, obviously, in the Marine Corps, John Kelly, who at the time was the president's chief of staff. Now, John Kelly's son was killed catastrophically in Iraq. He had stepped on a landmine and was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. And in the remarks that he was giving, so John Kelly said that when he is thinking through a complicated problem, he goes to his son's kever at Arlington National Cemetery to try to marshal the sense of what is best for the country. Here I'm in front of my son who gave his life. What can I give for the country? So sometimes you go not because it's the Yortz site. Sometimes you go not because it's Chodesh Elul. Sometimes you go because you're looking for a sense of chizuk, what to do. So Az b'haloch Yirmiyahu al kivrei avos v'nam, and he spoke and he said, Atzamos chavivos ma'atem shochvos. So he said, you precious bones, how can you lie still at a time like this? Obviously, we understand the answer to that question, and Yirmiyahu did too. But the point is, we need you right now. You can't just sleep, you know, and rest in peace over here. We're going to need you to do something. It's very reminiscent, if you think about the beginning of Sefer Yonah, when the Rav HaChovel comes and says, Ben Adam, Malcha Nirdam. There's some times when you can't if the ship is sinking, right, you can't be sleeping right now. You'll catch up on sleep later. This is not the time for a person to say, you know, I need my 8 hours no matter what. The ship is sinking, but I'm going to need my 8 hours. I'm sorry. That's not the way it's going to work, you know. So, Atzamos Chavivos, Ma'atem Shochlos. B'neichem Galu, Uvatehem Charevos, your children. These are your children. They're going into Galus, and their homes are destroyed. And where is the Zechos Avos as they're taken into the land of their travail? So again, Yirmiyahu is going, so to speak, and shaking up the Avos to try to spur them into action, you know, and in specific, right, with the idea of Zechos Avos that, okay, I'm just Yirmiyahu, I can't do it on my own, but maybe if Avram does something, maybe if Yitzchak does something, maybe if Yaakov does something, this is the time to pull out all the stops, right? And again, you know, we are victims in a certain sense that we know the end of the story. So we know, okay, so there was Shivat Zion, there was Galus Bavel, then they came back, and there's a Chorban Bayesheni, and here we are in Lamdenu, and we serve. But you know, when you're going through Chorban Bayes Rishon, it's not clear that there is any future. No people ever, right, ever came back from that. It is unprecedented in the annals of human history that you could survive the destruction of your land and somehow go into Galus and came back. That wasn't like a model for success. Nobody would say, oh, yeah, no big deal. We're just going to do the diaspora thing now. That hadn't been established as a viable model for success. It's still a miracle. I don't care how used to it we get. It's still, you know, an absolute nisim v'niflos. So this would be the time to, you know, pull out all the stops because it looks like it's going to end, right? That's what any objective person would say. Ve'ayiz chos avos be'eretz taluvos. And here I think there's a secondary meaning as well, which is of what good will this chos avos be? You know, you can have money stored up in the bank, but if everything is going to be destroyed, you know, kilovim oso yikach akol lo yireda acharav kavodo. If the ship is going to sink, you know, it doesn't matter how much gold somebody has on the Titanic, right? You want to empty out all of your assets. You want to pour out all of your chos avos now. Now is the time to put all of your chips on the table because none of it is going to matter if Klal Yisrael is not going to have a future. So go kulam bechinim. They all bechinim. They all reacted and began to, you know, not just to be aroused, but to cry out in these kinim. Al chesron banim on the fact that the children were no longer present. Dovavu bekol tachnunim. Dovavu means that they spoke in words of petition. Pnei shochein meonim. The one who is, as we say at the end of Sefer Dvarim, meona Elohe kedem. Right, Shochein Ma'onim, the one who dwells, the Gemara in Chagiga says that there are seven levels, seven heavens, literally. The expression comes from the seventh heaven. So the Gemara in Chagiga talks about seven levels to the heaven. I'm not sure what any of this means, but Ma'ona is a very, very high level within Shamayim, okay? So he seems very high and very distant. Pnei Shochein Ma'onim. Aye Havtachas V'Zacharti Lohem. Bris Rishonim. Where is the Havtacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember the covenant that he made with the Rishonim? Who are the Rishonim? The Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Yirmiyahu says, let's not make this about me. I'm small potatoes here. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, right? If somebody's going to be able to speak up on behalf of Klal Yisrael, it's the Avos because they were the ones who were party to the covenant. So Yirmiyahu says, do something. You were there. Right, I'm just klisheni, I'm klishlishi, I'm an aid me piaid, but you were there. This is when we need your bris. So heim heimiru chivodi besohu, Klal Yisrael were meimir, that means to switch out the kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu with avodah zarah, being referred to here as total vanity. Velo fachadu, velo rahu, they didn't have any sense of yira, any sense of trepidation. V'alim enayim mehem velo nahu, v'lo shahu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so first I tried Hester Panim, and yet there was no reaction on their part. They didn't follow me. They didn't pause in terms of the path that they were going down. V'eich esapak al amiras lohu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how do you, you know, I know you're blaming me here, but, you know, they were the ones who started all this with their complete denigration of the most basic foundation, right? Yesod ha-yesodos v'amra chachmos leida she'esha matzvei pishon. Right, the beginning, the foundation of it all is at least the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they denied him. Alamiras lohu heim hemiru chavodi besohu. Okay, so this is the opening shot here where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what exactly do you want from me? They're violating the covenant in the most egregious way. And it wasn't like, you know, I hit them with a lightning strike right away. First I tried to do Hester Panim, and that didn't help. And so now, you know, this is the result. They breached the covenant. What exactly do you want? So Zak Av Hamon Bavuram, who of course is the Av Hamon Goyim, that's Avram Avinu, so he's going to go first, right, very naturally. So, Za'ak Av Hamon Bavuram, V'chinein Pnei El Ram. And he is going to, again, beseech the God above. Chinam Nuseisi Eser Bechinos Avuram, V'hein Chazisi Shivram. I was tested 10 times, as we know, the Eser Nisyonos of Avram Avinu. So he asks, was it for naught? Was this, you know, something that could just expire, that this chosavos that I generated alone through the Eser Nisyonos, and now I see Vehein Chazisi Shivram, I have to see them broken and downtrodden and degraded in such fashion. Ve'aye Havtachas Al Tira Avram. So forget about the general promise made to the Avos, but you told me, right, in Parashas Lech Lecha, Al Tira Avram, Anochi Magen Lach Scharcha Harbe Me'od. Right, so where is that Havtacha? If you know that section of Parshas Lech Lecha, you realize the depth of the Kina right here. Because what was Avram worried about in that conversation? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, your schar is very great. Exactly. Children, excellent, Fred. He's worried about children, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, your schar is very great. And he says, it's very nice. You're telling me I have a lot of schar. Gorged. It's not worth anything. Why? Anochi holech ariri, uven meshek beisi hu damesek Eliezer. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean to be very careful. I don't want anybody to walk away with the sense that I said that Avram said his life was worthless because he didn't have children. People have that nisayon. I don't want to. But Avram felt that all of the schar in the world wasn't kedai. It wasn't worth what having a child would be worth. So why is that relevant? Of course, what's happening here? His children are being taken. So he's back to, he said, you said to me I shouldn't be afraid. I had nothing to worry about. This is nothing to worry about? I'm pretty worried right now. Al tira Avram. So it's going back to that original sense of pachad. Sometimes we forget, because again, we know the end of the story. Sometimes we forget that Avram and Sarah's most formative, basic experience was a sense of not having children. So now people know the expression, you know, PTSD. And people have experienced a very profound aspect of suffering in their lives, whatever it is, right? And then the idea of losing the children that were so, 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 so precious because it came with such, such, such difficulty, with such sorrows. There's a reason that Chazal say that Sarah Imenu died from hearing the news of Akedas Yitzchak. That they weren't making that up out of whole cloth. There is a deep insight into the psyche of a woman who waited till she was 90 years old to have a child and suffered terribly along the way. So now, Avram is saying, you're going to render me childless? After all of that? After all of that? After you told me that I had nothing to worry about? And after the Asara Nisyonos, remember the last and climax of which, according to the Rambam, is, of course, Akedas Yitzchak, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Tishlach Yad Chalanar, Ve'al Taslo Me'uma, right? That everything is going to be okay, and yet I was just making sure that you're really on board with your Hashemayim, okay? And so I have nothing to worry about. So that's what Avram says. Here's the response. This is now from the bottom of the first page. I want to thank Debbie again for organizing this so well. So Tau li Zaros, Be'avodos Zaros. So your children, the response is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they were Toeh, they made the error of getting involved in Avodos Zaros, but not just any Avodah Zarah, but Lihi Zaros in the language of Zorah. People know Hilchos Shabbos. So Zorah is when a person throws something up to the wind so that the wind will separate the wheat from the chaff. So it's the image of Klal Yisrael flailing in the winds towards Avodah Zarah. And again, without any sense of rootedness. Yatsu Lachtsov Boros, Boros Nishbaros. I'll show you exactly what that's a reference to. That's a reference to a pasuk in the second parak of Yirmiyah. V'eich es apak al bitul aseres adibros. Avraham Avinu, I'm very sorry, but for all of the depth of your concern, I'm not going to be able to overlook specifically the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. Before getting to the specific reference, let's just try to understand why this is the part of the conversation that's happening with Avraham Avinu. Avraham dedicated his life, especially the first part of his career, to repudiating Avodah Zarah in the world. And we shouldn't forget that that also was a very big nisayon. And we shouldn't forget that that was also a very lonely experience. And we shouldn't forget that Avram did that at the risk of his life. Even the Rambam writes, the Rambam who, again, isn't so wont to take every medrash at the literal meaning, assumes the literal meaning of those medrashim in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that Avram Avinu had to be saved by a miracle in championing monotheism. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, the problem is they're your children in the genealogical sense, but they're not your children in the spiritual sense. They, in fact, are degrading everything that you sacrificed for. Everything. Okay. Now, the pasuk that is specifically being referenced in the Kina, I think, has much to offer us. If you take a look in the footnote, I just wanted to show you, it says, Ya'atsu lachsov boros, boros nishbaros. So they counseled together to dig, to quarry boros, literally meaning wells or holes in the ground, but boros nishbaros, but boros that would be incapable of serving their function. The reason you have a bore is to hold some kind of a liquid, typically mayim, but it could be yayin, it could be other such things. So boros nishbaros. So again, it was like a totally useless. So the pasuk says the following. If you take a look at this, at the first footnote, Kishtayim ra'os asat ami. The Jewish people did two things wrong. Osi azvu mekar mayim chayim. They abandoned me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares himself here to a mayan noveya, a source of mayim chayim, of dynamic waters, a source of constant life. And then, lachtsov lahem boros, boros nish barim, asher lo yachilu hamayim. So not only did they abandon me, which was bad enough, but then they came up with this plan that they were going to dig their own, irrigation system that was totally futile. So it's one thing if somebody abandons a Kaddish Baruch Hu and says, I resign from all theology, I'm not going to necessarily go and, worship anything else. I'm just resigning from all religious or spiritual life. I become an agnostic or whatever it is. So, no, that's not what they did. Ami hemiru chvodi below yo'il. They specifically abandoned the Mekor HaMayim Chayim and decided that they could do better, right? They were going to trade them in for these boros that were supposed to be filled with water. And you look every time in these boros, and instead of supplying you with the water that you need, they're empty. They're empty because they're incapable of holding anything. They were totally useless on its face. Okay, so much for Avraham Avinu. Kod Savach Yitzchak Pnei Shochein Shachak. Again, so now Yitzchak, at this point, cries out to the one who is Shochein Shachakim, again, the one who dwells on high. Lashav B'Tevach Huchak. Was it for naught, for ultimately for nothing, like a shvua shav, a shvua taken in vain, that it was determined that I should go to a tevach, to the Akedah, that I should sacrifice my life. What was that like, you know, now we're forgetting all about that? V'hein zari nishchak v'nimchak. And now my zera, ki v'yitzchak yikari l'chazara, will be ground down, that's what it means to be, nishchak v'nimchak, and ultimately erased. So again, it's very important for us to understand the premise of this kina is not like there is a future. This is it. This is the 11th hour. This is the moment. If the Churban is going to happen, there is no future to Klal Yisrael. Nobody's ever come back from anything like this. So Yitzchak Avinu says, okay, that's Yitzchak. That's not enough. That I was prepared to give everything. You are the Pnei Shochein Shachak, right? Little Shochein Shachakim, all the way up high. But now my Zari is Nishchak. I'm playing off the words, very poetic, right? That my Zera will be ground down. V'ayeh Havtachas V'es Brisi Akim Es Yitzchak. Even if you dismissed my father, right? My father had great zechuyos, but Yitzchak also had great zechuyos. Yitzchak was not a little toddler. Yitzchak went to the Akedah, Vayochu Shneam Yachdav. And he was very strong. You know, Chazal tells us he was 37, even if he wasn't exactly 37, depending on how you understand that, but he was certainly capable of resisting. And that's his willingness to completely partner with his father in that, you know, most remarkable moment. So that's going to count for nothing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, Maru b'Yirmiya. You should understand this Zera that you speak of, who are they? And what have they done? So Maru b'Yirmiya. They first of all, they're rebelling against Yirmiya. Vitim'u Har Hamoriya. And they have defiled, rendered impure, Har Moriah. Why do we care so much about Har Moriah in specifically this stanza? You want to come to me, excellent Susan, with the zechus of the Akedah? If you knew what was going on there, if you knew what was going on Har Moriah, you would hesitate. Nil Eisi Niso, that's, again, this week's Haftarah, you'll hear that expression, straight from Shabbos Chazon. Ge'aya Olali Minishia. V'eich es apak b'harigas Zecharia. So the place that was you, right? V'aleu sham le'ola, I've been caused to, like minasha kinashani lokim is kol amali, means to forget. I've been caused to forget this by what's been going on there. Now again, you know, Akedas Yitzchak was there was almost a human being that was killed there. He wasn't, right? Tmuras Ayil. But there was somebody who was killed there, and that is the Navi Zechariah. Not the Navi Zechariah from Treyasar, but Zechariah ben Yehoyadam. So I just thought it would be good to take a look at this section, both in Tanakh and Divrei Yamim, where this story comes from, and then to show you the parallel Gemara in Masechta Gittin. So there was a very important Kohen Gadol, Yehoyada, who was the regent for Yehoash. Yehoash took over the Malchus at 7 years old, and under the tutelage, Kol Yemei Yehoyada, he did the right thing. Vayasa Yashar B'nei Hashem, people can say for Malachim, and he led a great restoration of the Beis HaMikdash on specifically Har HaMoriah. So that's the context here. And then the Tanakh tells us, Acharei Mos Yehoyada, Bo Sarei Yehuda Vayishtachvu LaMelech, and they start deifying the king. They start literally bowing down to him. Ashama Hamelech Alehem. And Yehoyada is gone, who's this great spiritual influence. Vayazvu es beis Hashem Elokei Avoseihem. Vayavdu es Hasherim ves Hatzabim vayiketzef al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim be'ashmasam zos. And now you have the defilement of Har HaMoriah. So a person, again, Yehoash, who had dedicated so much of his energy and his life towards the restoration of the Beit HaKavayis, is now abandoning it all right? Yehoyada passes away, and now he's going off the rails for Avodah Zarah. Vayishlach bam neviim la'ashiva mel Hashem, vayayidu bam velo hazinu. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Navi after Navi to tell them what is going on here, and it was in one ear and out the other. It wasn't helping at all. So then what happened? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to play my, you know, ace in the hole. V'ruach Elokim labsha Zecharia ben Yehoyada HaKohen. So Yehoyada was one who died, and that caused the whole problem here. So his son Zecharia, who represents, you know, his father's message, is now turned into a Navi. Okay, this is all of the references that we have during Kinos to Kohen v'Navi, Kohen v'Navi. So he was, right, the Kohen, son of the Kohen, and the Navi. Vayamod me'alam, vayomer lahem, ko amar halohim, lama tem ovrim es mitzvos Hashem, v'lo satzlichu ki azavtem es Hashem, vayazov eschem. If you abandon a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to feel what it is, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to abandon you. Okay, so he's giving it to them straight. And their response, Vayikshru alav, Vayirgimu even b'mitzvas hamelach, b'chatzar beis Hashem. And there, right there, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, they stoned him to death. So again, Hara Moriah, Akedas Yitzchak, the near death of Yitzchak, right? And Yitzchak comes with that zechus and says, I was willing to give my life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, you know what's going on in Hara Moriah? Murder. Literally, but also hamakom, right? That Zechariah ben Yehoyada was murdered brutally, and not just was he murdered by a mob, but what does the Navi tell us? B'mitzvas hamelech is deliberate first degree murder. Can you imagine? Yehoash killed the son of the person who had given everything to him. It's not just murder. It's the worst, worst form of just totally unspeakable, right? Yehoyada gave his life to raise Yehoash b'darchei HaTorah. And look where it's come to now. He literally ordered the killing of his son in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Akedas Yitzchak is a very big schus. But the response in the Kina is a very big avera. B'mitzvas HaMelech, this wasn't like a mob that got out of control. They did it because that's what Yehoash wanted them to do at that time. V'lo zachar Yehoash HaMelech ha-chesed asher asa Yehoyada aviv imo v'yarog es b'no chmoso amar yira Hashem v'yidrosh. And the Navi says it explicitly, that, again, as bad as murder is, this is makes this so terrible. It isn't just location. It's also terrible in the Beis HaMikdash. All that is very bad. But the kfui tova, the lack of gratitude, lo zachar es achesed, that really Yehoyada raised Yehoash as his father. He took care of him. Ataliah had killed everybody else. There was nobody left in the whole family. Yehoyada raised him as a son. And now this man's biological son you kill. Should have been like a brother to him. And so many of the themes of Akedas Yitzchak, of Av Uben, of Ayilchu Shneim Yachta, of fathers and sons, showing loyalty to each other, and all of that has been undone. Sometimes we're not, I think, sufficiently aware of what an enormous Avera this was and what role it played in the Chorban, but just to show on Gemara Gittin, the Dafyomi people, again, I know we'll be on top of it. The Mar Gittendaf and Zayin Amud Beis says that the killing of Zechariah was again an enormous, that we should all know in Jewish history, that's one of the greatest avonos that we have. Again, in this kina, coming to the level of even neutralizing or mitigating Akedas Yitzchak and that zechus, which is the ultimate zechus. So Amr Bichia Bar Oven, this is I put in the box here. Amr Bishuv Ben Karcha Sachli Zokin Echad Me'anshe Yerushalayim. Bivikazo harag nevuzaradan rav tabachem asayim ve'achas esrei ribo uv yushalayim harag tishim ve'arba ribo al even achas. Literally hundreds of thousands and even millions. Ad shahalach daman v'naga b'damo shel Zecharia. L'kayim ashenemar damim b'damim nagu. That the blood was mixing together. So this was the story. So ashkechei l'damei to Zecharia d'ava kamirtach v'salik. So when nevuzaradan entered the Harabayas, he saw blood boiling. So Amar Maihai, and he said to the Jews, "What is this?" Amrulei, so they tried to cover it up. Dam zvachem diishtafoch. This is korbanos. So I see dam mevelo idmus. He didn't believe them, so he brought a little forensic experiment. So he brought the blood of animals, and it was clear that it was a sheker. So Amrulei yamrisu li mutav V'im lav masrikna the v'saraychu b'misarki defarzli. Says you're either going to tell me the truth or you're going to have a very brutal death. By the way, exactly the death that the Romans imposed later on Rabbi Kiva. So Amri Lei, my name Alach. They say, well, what do you want us to say? Navi hava aban dehava kamocha chlan b'mili d'shmaya. There was a Navi and he was giving us tochacha, so we killed him. Kamina nilave v'katlinan lei. V'hacham ashanin delo kanayich dame. And it's been many years and the blood is still boiling. He told him the truth. So Amar Lahu, Anam if I seen Allah. So I'm gonna appease the blood of Zechariah. So I see Sanhedrin Gedol of Sanhedrin Kitana, Katli Lavi. So first he murders all of the Chachamim, the Nebuzaradan does, right, to say that Klal Yisrael deserves this for what they did to Velonach. Bachurim Besulos Katli Lavi, younger people, say, you know, you could say teens, adolescents, Velonach. I see Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, he brought the youngest children and slaughtered them right there. Katol ilave velo nach. So Amarle, Zechariah, Zechariah, so Nebuzaradan, who was the henchman of the Nebuchadnezzar, so he was the leading murderer, says, Zechariah, Zechariah, Tovim Shebeheni Batim. There's not so many people left for me to kill. After, you know, they killed off the Sanhedrin, and then the young people, and then the youngest of the children. Nichalach davdinu lechulu. Do you want all of Klal Yisrael to be destroyed? Kida Amarle hachi nach. So Nebuzaradan actually did appease the blood. Speaking to the blood of Zechariah, called him Achicha Tzokim Ilai Minada. So he said, it's enough. Ba'ishaita here b'tshuva b'daite. So this moment was so transformative for Nebuzaradan. Rav Tabachim Amar Maim Al Nefesh Achas Kacha Ugarver Dekatel Kol Hani Nishmasal Achas Kame V'chama Arak Azol Shadr Shtar Pirtasa B'vesei V'igayer. Nebuzaradan was so moved by this whole encounter that he actually ended up becoming a ger tzedek, because he said that Kadosh Baruch Hu was so vengeful over this one person's death, right? And now look what I've done in terms of, you know, my life to this point and very recently, and how, you know, Yedehem Dami Maleo, right? So he, this is a transformative moment for him. But again, we should never underestimate what the murder of Zechariah meant and what it did to the Zechos, even of Akedas Yitzchak. So now it's Yaakov Avinu's turn. Still have 15 minutes or so left, and we have to pick up the pace of drop. But again, each line here is a gem. So Sach Yulad Betelef Demaos Ketanin Zolev. So the one who was born. Betelef literally means in study. We call Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. So Yaakov's great zchus is that he was, you know, born to Torah, and he's crying and he's weeping. Ololai shetipachti be'elef, the children that I raised. Because remember, Yaakov is the one who's associated with the Mita Shlema. He's the only one who was zocha to have, you know, and he worked very, very, very hard. You know, Avraham Avinu had two sons, and later on more, but primarily two, and one becomes part of the Masorah. Yitzchak Avinu had two. Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons. It's Tzar Gidol Banim. Eich Gazu Meni Bechalef. Right? How is it possible that now they've been cut down from me? Well, HaChalif obviously is to be switched out. Ve'eich Afra Mini Damim Medamim Kama Aleph. And how is it that I'm being paid back, literally, Lifroa is to pay, right, many, many, many thousands of times over. So this is a reference, the entire section here, where Yaakov Avinu is saying that I'm getting a raw deal, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're being machlif on me, you're switching out to me, you know, that which, you know, initially was promised, is a reference to Yaakov's interactions with Lavan Harami, right? When Yaakov says, Zeli, if you could take a look at the footnote if you want, Esrim Shana B'Veisacha, Avaticha Arbaasar Shana Bishtevin Osacha Vesheshani Bitsunach. These were the child rearing years. Vatachalefis Maskorti Aseres Monim. And right, either 10 times or 100 times according to Chazal, Lavan would, you know, completely, you know, be machalif on him constantly, you know, what the terms of the engagement were. So Yaakov Avinu makes the claim. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer, and the kina shifts a little bit. So Patz Roa Neman. So who's the Roa Neman? The faithful shepherd, right? That's Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. Kafush Ba'efer Meduman. So now Moshe Rabbeinu is covered literally in ash and dung. Tzon asher b'cheki ha'aman, the sheep that in my bosom I raised. Ve'ech gazu below zman, how could they be cut down? Right. Obviously, there's a reference here to gizas hatzon. Right. When you talk about shearing the sheep, but here we're talking about their actual destruction. Ve'ayeh havtachas kilo alman. So where is the havtacha of kilo alman? So that's also a direct reference to Yirmiyahu. This is now from the 51st chapter. So towards the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu, the pasuk says kilo alman Yisrael v'Yehuda me'elohav. The Jewish people are not begeder almonim, and that means to literally to be bereft of their spouse, or to be, as it became later on in modern iteration, ploni almoni, to be anonymous, to be estranged of. So we're not estranged of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Me'ashem tzvakos ki artzam mala asham mikdosh Yisrael. And in fact, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to be done as Hagoy Asher Yavodu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to vindicate Klal Yisrael. So Ayehav Tachas Kilo Alman. So whatever happened to the promise that the Jewish people aren't going to be abandoned in this fashion. Kol Bechi Leah Mitofefes Alivavea. Leah was crying. Rachel Achosim Mivaka Al Baneha. Another reference, of course, to the Psukim in Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph. Rachel Mivaka Al Baneha. Me'anali Lechem Al Baneha Kenenu. Zilpa Maka Paneha. Bilha mekonenes bishtei yada. So the imahos, all of them, right, and then plus Bilha and Zilpa, here are the ones who built up Klal Yisrael, were crying and weeping and engaging in all forms of dirge, etc. And so,
midrash from all the avot and Rachel being the winner at the end. It doesn't really mention Zilpa. It's interesting how they pop up here.
And it's very interesting that Rachel is not the clear winner here. This is an aggregate. It's a very, very important difference than the way that we, you know, normally have it formulated. So again, Avram was answered. Yitzchak, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered him, starting with Yaakov and then going to Moshe. And now we have Rachel, Leah, Bilha, Zilpa. So it all aggregates. And we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is silent. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu's voice comes in at the end. So he says, Shuvu tamimim l'mnuchaschem. Tamimim is a very important expression that I want to come back to. But it literally means the pure ones, the whole ones. Malei amalei kol mishalosechem. I will fulfill everything that you ask for in terms of your children. Shulachti bavela l'ma'anchem. They may be going to Babel, but I'm going with them. A radical idea. Hinini mishovev galus b'nechem. I'm going to bring them back. Let me first just deal with the idea of tamimim and why specifically they're referred to here as tamimim. Right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, etc. And then to show you the piece in Chazal which is being referenced. So the Ramban has a series of essays on the concept of tamimus. Well, sometimes we hear that word, that, you know, a person is a tamim, tamim tiyah, masham lokech, the Ramban considers to be a mitzvah min haTorah. So what does that mean, and why is it here? So I'm just going to show one, and this is representative, but people should know, the Ramban wrote about this at great length in multiple places, and always came back to this central idea. So first let me summarize it outside, then we'll read some of the formulations inside, which are very, very, very important. The Ramban believes that the term tamim has a very specific meaning. It's not just to be generally religiously loyal, but what it means is to believe that no matter what the situation is, no matter what the pundits and prognosticators are saying, in any generation, right? In those days, it would have been the astrologers. Now it would be people who work at think tanks. But whatever it is, you know, it's the same idea. No matter what they're saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the final vote. And nothing is beyond his control. That's what it means, Tamim Tiyayim Hashem Elokecha. That it can look like the odds are approaching zero for the survival of Klal Yisrael. That this is unprecedented in human history up until this point, And yet, that's the idea of Tamim Tihiyah Im Hashem Elokecha, is to believe that there is nothing, this is the expression that the Rambam likes to use from Chazal, Ein Mazel LeYisrael, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can override anything. Doesn't mean that the chances are good, but it means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can. And this is a concept that the Ramban actually references here in this piece that started with, anybody remember who was the one who started this idea? Where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this one is ra'oi for the concept of Tmimus. Only Avraham Avinu. It started back with Avraham, which takes us back to the beginning of the Kina, which in the context of the mitzvah of Bris Milah, Avraham Avinu is told, Hisalech lefanai v'heyei samen. Okay? And the Ramban says exactly that there, that this is a new stage in our relationship as a reward for your loyalty and your emuna, that you're now going to approach level of tumimus. So just a few lines in the Ramban. V'tam tam tiyayim Hashem lokecha, shiriyache levavenu elav levado, v'na'amin shehu levado osekol, v'hu ayodei amitas kol asid, v'menu levado nidrosh asidos, midaviyav anshe chasidav, we shouldn't believe no matter what the astrologers are saying. This should be our response. Hakol bidei shamayim, ki hu Elohei Elohim elyon al hakol, yachol bakol. Our response should be, okay, the odds may be long, but we're not giving up. That's the concept of tamimus. So,
what would he use as a word in English for tamimus?
I would require two words.
Yeah.
Wholehearted belief. There's now, you can appreciate why this word is specifically being deployed here. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, they're going into Galus. But believe me when I tell you they're coming back. Now, again, on its face, if you told somebody that at this point in history, that would be like saying 2 plus 3 is 18. It doesn't make any sense. 2 plus 3 is 5. If a nation is defeated and exiled from the land, they're not coming back. They're not coming back. It's over. They'll be destroyed. Most of them will be killed. A few survivors will assimilate into whatever cultures they're taken. It's over. So to believe this is to believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can overturn not just the laws of nature, but the laws of history. That's what we are. That's what Klal Yisrael is. We are living proof of the defiance of the laws of history. that history has been defied, that the laws of history, where nations rise and then they have a period of great influence and then they disappear, and the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Greeks and the Persians and the Romans and the Mamluks and the Ottomans, it's all the same, and here we are. But to believe that, you have to have this tamimus. You have to have that overriding sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu is kol yachol. And no matter what the laws of astrology or the laws of history say, we're still here. And that's the idea that the Gemara Megillah tries to get across, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there's a secret to the sauce, there's an algorithm. Why is it that they're able to survive these exiles that no other nation could possibly survive, and nor has survived? So the Gemara Megillah explains what this reference is when the second to last line, the penultimate line of the Kina, Shulachti Bavel Lamanchem, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes with us. Gemara Megillah Chavtes, Tani Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Borei Kama Chaviv in Yisrael Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you really want to understand, I love this line, how much God loves the Jewish people, then you have to know the following: Shebechol Makom Shegalu Shechina Imaim, Galu Mitzrayim Shechina Imaim. Shneamar Haniglod Nigleis Tiveisavicha Biyosam Mitzrayim, Galu LeBavel Shechina Imaim. Shneamar LeManchem Shulachti Bavela, etc. etc. If you really want to know how much Kadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, so you have to know that when we go into exile, he comes with us. And that's the reason that we're always able to come back, is that he doesn't abandon us. Pasuk doesn't say, Veheshev Hashem Elkecha Shavuscha. The Pasuk says, Veshav Hashem, that he's coming back with us. That's the mechanism. If you want to know how is it that we survive, it's that we're never alone. Imo Anochi Betzara, Bechol Tzaras Amlo Tzara. And I happen to love this Gemara. I understood it, I think, for the first time 7 years ago. And the Gemara says, if you really want to know how much Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people, then know that he goes into galus with them. What does that mean? So, it means is the following. And again, very grateful. She's no longer with us, but I first came to the shul, so I had a congregant whose son was in jail for something that he very much deserved to be in jail for, a very violent crime. And she told me she would go to visit him as often as she was allowed to. Thank God he's out of jail, really turned his life around in the intervening years. And I learned from her what this Gemara means, that she was in jail with him. It was clear. She was in prison with him. He was nigla to Mitzrayim and to Bavel, and she was with him. She emotionally experienced this. She physically experienced this. She would tell me that, you know, literally through the glass, like you see in the movies, she would say to her son, "I am here with you. I am here with you." Literally. That's the meaning. If you want to know how much a mother can love her son, it's that. It's not only the son who's, you know, the cardiologist and somebody to be very proud of and this and that. If you really want to know how much Klal Yisrael are chaviv into Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's that when we go to prison, he comes with us. When we go to Mitzrayim, he comes with us. When we go to Bavel, he comes with us. It doesn't matter. There's an unconditional bond between a Kaddish Baruch. If you really want to understand how Chaviv Klal Yisrael are, so Galu Mitzrayim Shechina Imaim, Galu LeBavel Shechina Imaim, then you'll begin to understand the depth of the bond. As the Pasuk says, L'manachem Shulachti Bavela. So as I promised at the beginning of this series, it's not all depression. So you read this Kina, it's very sad. We almost totally squandered this Chos of Akedas Yitzchak. That's not easy to do. That takes very big averos. We almost totally squandered the zechuyos of Avraham Avinu. That's not easy to do. But in the end, he goes to Bavel with us. And the Tmimim, who understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of anything, they understand that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of saving us even from that. So just to finish with this thought and then open up to people, you know, have questions. So Yirmiyahu does get a nechama. Yirmiyahu does get Nechama. It's very hard to be Yirmiyahu and Navi. We don't deny it. But when he wakes up, the Avos, in this incredible vision, and, you know, they have this encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the end of the day, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is very bad right now. You can't cover it up. It's very bad, and it's all deserved. But I'm not giving up on you. And Shulachti Bavel Lamanchem, and then I'm going to be Meshovev, the Galus B'neichem. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. And that part of our Tisha B'Av experience should be, as bad as it is, we're still here. Which proves that he's never given up on us. And just one more line. The Ramban actually says so B'Feirush in his Hakdamah to Sefer Dvarim. The Ramban says, there's a lot of Tochacha in Dvarim. There's no denying it. But he says Tochacha is a two-way street. On one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael what they need to hear, that they need to do better. On the other hand, what he's saying to them is, you've done a lot of things wrong, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still in a relationship with you. That should give you some confidence that he's not going anywhere, that this relationship counts. So that's part of our experience on Tisha B'Av, that for all of our suffering, we're not abandoned, and we'll never be abandoned. Imo Anochi Betzara, he's always going to be